Chapter 16. The Final Battle. My first instinct was to protect Miles. I saw Quint's horrible face, but I didn't want Miles to see it. I knew that this was the final battle. I was fighting with a demon for a human soul, and when I looked down at Miles, I saw that he was fighting too. The young face in my arms was sweating and as white as Quint's face at the window. "Yes, I took it," Miles murmured finally. I gave a cry of happiness because I understood what was happening. Miles was freeing himself from Quint. I looked at the window and knew that I was right. Outside, Quint moved a little. He wasn't like a guard anymore. He was like an angry animal, waiting to try again. But I felt that I was winning. "Why did you steal my letter?" I asked. "I wanted to know what you'd said about me," Miles answered. "And you opened it?" I continued. "Yes, I did," he confessed. I felt happy at his words. I knew from looking at him that he had no contact with the ghost outside. The line of communication was broken by this confession, and I was winning. I looked at the window again. There was no one there. Quint had gone. I was so happy. "I must continue until Miles confesses everything," I thought. "Then he will be saved." "Did you do the same thing at school?" I asked. "Is that why you couldn't go back there? Did you steal things?" "No, I didn't steal anything," Miles answered. I said things. Horrible things, I think. I don't really remember." "Who did you say those things to?" I asked. "To everyone?" "No," he answered. "Only to nice people, to my friends." "And the headmaster heard them?" I said. "Yes," he answered. "I didn't mean to say them. It was as if somebody else was making me say them." "And what were those terrible things?" I asked. "Please, Miles, I want to know everything." He tried to get away from me then. He was afraid. And as he was struggling, I saw Quint's white face again at the window. It was as if he had come back to make a final attempt to stop Miles speaking, to stop him confessing everything to me. I felt ill, but the battle was not finished. I had to win. With sudden violence, I pressed Miles's face to my chest again. He couldn't see anything through the window, but I could. "Go away! Go away!" I shouted at the face outside the window. Miles felt that my words were not directed at him. "Is she here?" he shouted with sudden anger. "Is it her?" I understood what he meant. He thought it was Miss Jessel. "No," I answered. "It isn't Miss Jessel. It's him. He's just outside the window. For the last time." I had gone too far. I wasn't careful enough. Miles suddenly attacked me with fury. He couldn't see anything, but he felt a presence there, and it was slowly filling the room like a terrible poison. "Where is he?" Miles cried, struggling against my arms. "Where has he gone?" "Who?" I said. "Who do you mean?" At that moment, I felt that I was winning, and I wanted Miles to confess everything, to finally say the ghostly name and force him into the open. "Quint, you demon!" Miles cried in panic. Then he escaped from my arms and looked again round the room. "Where is he?" "What does it matter now?" I murmured. "He's outside the window, but it doesn't matter. I've got you, and he has lost you forever. You're safe now." Miles turned and stared at the window, but no one was there. And then he screamed, a terrible scream of loss. My triumph was a terrible loss for him, and he screamed as if he were falling into total darkness. I caught him in my arms again and held him close. With tears running down my face, I held him against me until the trembling stopped and he became calm. I held him like that for a minute, and then I began to feel what I was really holding. We were alone in the quiet daylight, but his little heart had stopped. He was dead. Suddenly, I understood everything. Miles needed Quint's visits. For Miles, life without Quint was not a life. He preferred to be dead. I had done him no favour in saving him from the ghost. I had, simply, killed him.